Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Listen, y'all, I'm going to bring it tonight, and I'm really going to bring it, and I'm going to tell you why. Normally, when I preach at another church, I try to tone it down a little bit, because you don't want to come into a church and, show up the other pastor, right? But Matt came to our church this summer on a Wednesday night, and, dude, he brought it. He brought fire. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're making me look bad in front of all my people. True story, Matt walks in on a Wednesday night, and there's a lady in my church who's been coming to church since day one. And Matt walks in on Wednesday night, and she goes, Matthew Krichunas, you're my favorite preacher. And I'm like, oh, so weak. So I got a chip on my shoulder, just a little bit. That's all worldly. I'm sorry. This evening I want to talk about two things, all right? I want to talk about idolatry. And I want to talk about blessing. And did you know that when it comes to idolatry versus blessing, the book of 1 Corinthians describes the two as a choice. You can either choose idolatry or you can choose blessing. And my desire for this church, for my church, for every church in America is that we are a blessed church. Amen. Dude, I want to be blessed. Y'all want to be blessed? And that means that we've got to choose blessing over idolatry. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Father, I just pray that you would anoint this word, that this message would be yours and not mine. Lord, I ask that you would be here in our presence, that you would speak through me. And Father, I would be so bold to ask that you would be our ears tonight and that you would hear in our behalf so that everyone in here hears a personal message for themselves as you lead, Lord. Father, I just pray that this would be for you, of you, and glorifying to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? We're going to start in verses 1 through 12 just to kind of prime the pump. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I'm going to read a ton of scripture tonight, so try to follow along. I'm going to go quick. Matt said he's turning off my mic at 8:10, so we got to get through this thing, all right? 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate of the same spiritual food and drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. With most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things took place as examples for us, that we may not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the age has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. If y'all think you know what you're doing tonight, y'all better listen, lest you fall. That's what Paul's saying. Yes. And so I just want to kind of go over this little section of scripture to prime the pump for choosing the cup of blessing. I want to go back to the beginning. Paul says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers. This is an instructional part of scripture. He's writing to the church of the Corinthians. And he's saying, I want you guys to know. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want there to be any question. What I'm fixing to tell you is important. I want you to learn. I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate of the same spiritual food and the same spiritual drink. What he's talking about is the Exodus. He's referencing the Exodus, and what had happened was, if you remember the story of Exodus, all of the Israelites were enslaved by Egypt. Moses went up to Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go, right? And there are all these plagues that came down. Finally, Pharaoh let the people leave. The Israelites even plundered Egypt as they left. They got to take all the gold from the houses that they were serving, and they took all of this gold. God parted the Red Sea. They walked through the Red Sea. God caused manna to fall from heaven. They were literally eating physical fruit from heaven. Now, why does Paul reference this? It's because he wants to make it very clear that he is talking to spiritual people about spiritual people who fell. Yeah. And he's saying, look, guys, these guys were so close to God. Literally, God clothed himself in a cloud and was leading them, and they were following him. They saw the miracles. They saw the plagues. They saw the Red Sea part. They walked through it. They saw it close up over the Egyptians. They were literally eating food from heaven, and they still messed up. So y'all better listen, because if they can mess up, we can mess up too. That's what Paul's saying. Dude, I like y'all. Y'all amen way more than my people. It's good, man. It's energizing. I love it. So he's priming the pump. And he's saying, look, okay, so the Israelites have left. They've gone through the Red Sea. They've experienced all of these things, and then they fell. How did they fall? Well, you remember the story of the golden calf? If y'all don't know the story of the golden calf, go watch the chocolate bunny episode of VeggieTales. It's amazing. It's where I learned the story the first time. I still sing the songs. The bunny song, it's amazing. Yes. Crystal knows what I'm talking about. Dude, I love this church, man. I'll just come back here. This is fun. I talk about VeggieTales in my church, and they're like, huh? What? VeggieTales? So anyways, what happened? They're going to the promised land. God's promised them this land flowing with milk and honey. And they have no reason to disbelieve that that land's coming. I mean, all the miracles that they saw, right? There's no reason to disbelieve. They're going to the land of milk and honey. They're going to the land of blessing. And they get to this mountain, and there's this big ceremony. And God says, I want to meet with Moses up at the top of the mountain. No one come to the mountain. No one touch it. Moses goes up for 40 days. And the people get antsy. And they're like, man, he's been up there a long time. And they're like, man, this kind of stinks. I'm getting tired of this manna, and Moses, is he ever coming back? And Aaron, he was like, dude, I got an idea. This is what we're going to do. Let's take all that gold that God gave us. Let's take all that gold. Let's melt it down, and let's make a golden cow, and we'll worship that. That sounds great. And everyone was like, that's amazing, man. That's great, right? So they build this golden cow, and then they worship. And Paul references this verse. He says that they rose up to play. They lay down. They ate and they drank. That verse in Exodus, what it's talking about is, and I don't mean to be crude, but they were being very worldly. They were getting drunk, they were gluttons, and they were having orgies all around this golden calf while worshiping it. They just went into all kinds of sin. I mean, God just delivered them from Egypt, and now they're like, nah, golden calf, let's do it, right? Aaron called the calf, he looked at the calf, and he said, now this is the Lord that has delivered us from Egypt. So that's the setting that Paul is drawing while he's talking about idolatry. Okay? And then, starting around verse 7 and going on, Paul starts listing some idolatry that they were doing in this time. And I just want to talk about a little bit of idolatry in kind of a parallel to what he was talking about. So y'all can kind of, and my hope here tonight is that I'm going to step on everybody's toes just a little bit, all right? And the reason why I hope that is because we're going to talk about some idols, and if you get a little bit offended or it rubs you the wrong way a little bit, then maybe that's God showing you this might be an idol in your life, okay? So if you feel a little bit rubbed the wrong way, man, just take a note of that, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the sermon tonight. So Paul warns us in this passage about some modern idols that the Israelites fell into. First, Paul warns against idolizing religion. Yeah. Thinking that if we are religious enough, we can go to heaven. Yes. We worship good works instead of a good God. Yeah. I'll just speak up for myself, and I know many pastors who fall into this. We get so into the work of God that we begin to idolize the work of God. And we idolize church work and doing the right thing, and we forget who God is in the midst because we idolize that, right? And dude, just the reality of it is in America, man, we have church worship and we have pastor worship. Dude, y'all are blessed with a very smart, very handsome, very funny, good preaching guest preacher tonight. And Matt's pretty awesome too. Really, dude, Pastor Matt has been like a brother and a father to me. I love Matt probably more than any one human being other than my wife and kids on this earth. And he led me to Christ. He taught me about Christ. He discipled me. He's still the guy who I call. But I tell you that if tomorrow it came out that Matt was a pagan dog sinner and was doing all this sin and just fell into this huge scandal, I wouldn't love Jesus one bit less. And I hope that this church, if that were to happen, that the church would continue on. But unfortunately, we worship pastors so much in America that when the pastor falls, the church falls, and it shouldn't be that way. So we idolize religion. We idolize theology. I cannot tell you how much we idolize theology. We care more about Calvin and Arminius than we care about Jesus. We're then warned about idolizing our own version of God. We make our own version of God, right? The Israelites called the golden calf the Lord who delivered them from Egypt. They didn't like that God was meeting with Moses for something like 40 days. And they're like, let's make our own version of God. And how often do we do that, church? How often do we say things like, my God would never do that? Well, maybe your God wouldn't ever come down and die for our sins either. Like, maybe your God's not the God, right? My God would never do that. My God would never say that. Man, I do my best to worship the God of the Bible and just to humble myself and understand that I don't understand him completely. And I just follow him as fully. We say things, oh, this dude, I hate this one. Please tell me y'all never said this one. The God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament. Oh, the God of the Old Testament was mean. I serve the God of the New Testament. Yeah. He's loving. What do you mean? God of the, do y'all ever read Revelation? Yeah. Like, well, come on, man. Like, God was just as loving in the Old Testament and just as just in the New Testament. He never changes. But we don't like it, so we make our own version of God to worship. Then we're warned about idolizing evil. How many of y'all know our society idolizes evil? Here's where we're about to step on some toes. Y'all say yes, you just wait. Talk about some evil, right? We idolize evil in movies, TVs, music, books, video games, right? One of the best-selling video games is Grand Theft Auto, right? Like, the name of the game is a felony, right? Like, in the game, you steal cars and you hire prostitutes and then rob them and kill them. And people are like, woo, video games, this is fun because we idolize evil. And now we're in church, and so most of us are like, I would never let my children do that. I'd never let them play that game, right? So this is where we step on toes. Now listen, I'm not a big prude, and I love this movie. And my son's favorite movie is Minions. Y'all ever seen Minions? Dude, it's his favorite movie. Dude, the movie is about a bunch of guys looking for the most evil guy that they can follow. And in the middle of the movie, they catch a ride to VillainCon, right? Because they're going to the villain convention. And on the way, the family that they're riding with, including a baby, puts on ski masks, goes and robs a bank. They get in the car, drive away. The minions pull out a rocket launcher and shoot it at the cops who are chasing them. That's Grand Theft Auto in minion form, right? Come on. And we're like, oh, let's take our toddlers to see this. That would be great, right? And dude, and I love the movie, but it's just a great commentary on our culture to where we're like, man, that's cute. PG, it's fine, right? And that's, dude, that's our culture. We idolize evil. And you know, I think about it when we're talking about idolizing evil. I think about the gladiators and the Colosseum, and we're all like, I can't believe that people would get into a Colosseum and pay money to see people kill each other. And that's just so evil and so wicked. Dude, the only difference between the actors in the Colosseum and the actors in Hollywood is that the actors in Hollywood get to see another day. Yeah. That's the only difference. Yeah. As far as we, the audience, are concerned, we love watching people die. Yeah. We love watching people get killed, man. We pay money to go see it. Nothing's changed, right? That's our society. Speaking of movies, TVs, music, things of the such, Paul warns against idolizing sex. Dude, American society loves idolizing sex. It's everywhere. Like, Hardee's can't sell a hamburger without selling sex at the same time. Y'all seen those Hardee's commercials, man? And it's good. Praise God. Jay's like, I ain't seen those Hardee commercials. Dude, we idolize sex, right? Like, how many of y'all seen the movie Wolf on Wall Street? Don't answer that. Right? It's a terrible movie, but it won awards. Right? We got 50 Grades of Sin that people love. 50 Shades of Sin, right? Whatever that movie is, right? Love that movie. People like can't wait to go see that movie. It's about sex and fornication. Dude, I can't walk through the mall without seeing a floor-to-ceiling half-naked woman trying to sell lingerie. Like, dude, nobody's confused about what Victoria's Secret sells. Like, no one's like, I wonder what they sell. Like, dude, why does it got to be facing the aisle? Because we idolize sex, and Victoria's Secret wants guys looking at that, and they want girls wanting to be looked at like that. And because they know we idolize sex as a society. Finally, we idolize our feelings. We let our feelings, dude, we idolize our feelings. Dude, we let our feelings dictate our actions instead of letting God dictate our actions. The Israelites said, I don't feel like eating manna anymore. I don't feel like eating it. You know what was good? Man, it was those vegetables that our slave drivers were giving us. Let's go back to that. Man, our feelings all the time. I don't feel like this is right. I don't feel like, man, come on, it's sickening that we would let our heart, which the Bible says is deceitfully wicked above all things, that we would let that dictate anything. All right, speaking of feelings, we're about to really, whew. No, oh, no, man, we're not there yet. here's where people leave, all right? One other idol I think is worth talking about today, all right? Happens once about every 4 years, right? Right? Politics, right? We idolize politics in America. But politics is important, I hear you protest. The presidential election is important. We get a vote, and that's true. It is important, but we don't need to idolize it, do we? Man, we live in a country where we get to be a part of the process, and that's great. But many of us, and I've fallen into this camp many a times, idolize politics. And dude, I thought we'd be done with this. Like, the election's over, and I'm like, can we move on? Can we talk about something else? Donald Trump won, Hillary Clinton lost. Let's move on with life, right? But we're not done with it, apparently. Wiretapping scandals and tax returns. And, like, dude, the guy already won. Who cares what his tax returns say? Church, if Donald Trump being elected, and I say this with all honesty because I've seen this, there was a lot of devastation, even amongst Christians, when Donald Trump was elected. If Donald Trump being elected is more devastating to you than the fact that there are people in this world who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you've made an idol of politics and you need to repent. There's so many people I've seen that profess to weeping over the election results, but they never weep over a world dying without a Savior. Now, on the flip side, y'all will agree with that. Here's the flip side. I see many Christians jumping for joy, screaming a big hallelujah, saying that this is the biggest miracle ever that Donald Trump got elected. They defend Trump like he can do no wrong. And guys, it kind of makes me sick. And I'll tell you why it kind of makes me sick, man. And I should just stay off Facebook because, oh, just angers me. Amen. Because I see more people rejoicing over Donald Trump's getting a job than I see people rejoicing over one person being saved. Dude, if you rejoice louder over a presidential election than you rejoice over your brother in Christ being baptized, you've made an idol. Yes. You've made an idol, man, and we've got to move on. The fact is, Trump or no Trump, Clinton or no Clinton, Republican or Democrat, Christ is king, amen? Amen. He is on the throne. He reigns. And if anything takes away your focus or your passion or your mindset, anything at all takes that away from Christ Jesus, you've made an idol. The fact is, many of us, including myself, care more about the kingdom of America, the kingdom of my family, the kingdom of my feelings and who I am and who I deserve to be. We care more about the kingdom of us than we care about the kingdom of Christ. And church, I think it's time we tear down some idols this evening. Amen. Now, there's good news, church. If we choose to flee from idolatry, if we make the choice, the actual choice to say, I'm not going to do that anymore, there's a cup of blessing waiting for us. There's a cup overflowing of blessing waiting for us. God doesn't want us to live in bondage. He wants us to live in blessing. Our text, that's just the introduction, man. We're just getting fired up. Our text for the evening is 1 Corinthians 10, 13 through 21. Would you all turn there with me? 1 Corinthians 10, 13 through 21, continuing the thought process that Paul was just speaking of. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless is it not in participation with the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not in participation with the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we partake in the bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that pagans, what they offer is to demons and not to God. I do not want you, church, to be participants with demons. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Point one this morning, idolatry is a temptation. And I want to say that again. Idolatry is a temptation. And I believe that the reason why the Church of America is so overthrown by idolatry is because we think that we are above it. We think that because we're Christians, man, idolatry, that's for the Buddhists and that's for the other religions. And man, we love Jesus. And so we think that we're above it. But Paul's whole premise here is that the Israelites who were with so close to God, they fell into idolatry, so we need to be warned. And he says it's a temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, once again, no temptation has overtaken you that is not uncommon, or that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, I've heard this verse preached many a times before, and generally when it's preached, and they're good sermons, and I've preached it this way, generally when this verse is preached, it's talking about singular sin. It's talking about falling into sexual sin, or being tempted to lie, or to steal, or to cheat, or whatever. And I've never heard it preached on idolatry. But the fact is that the context of this verse about temptation is in the context of idolatry. And what that tells me is that idolatry is a temptation, and we need to treat it as such. And let's be honest, man, we're all heavily tempted to make idols, to have our attention directed away from God. Satan loves nothing more than when we lift up our false idols over the one true God. So of course he's going to be tempting us. So let's talk about politics one more time, because I like politics because it's an easy target. It's something that we all generally kind of can easily idolize from time to time. It's still kind of fresh in our mind. But also I want to talk about politics as idolatry, because there is a biblical principle where in the Bible many times people idolize politicians. It's nothing new. It says that there's no temptation that's not common to man, which means that political idolatry is common. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 and 4 and 5. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of a horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, or every kind of music, you are to fall down and to worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up." So Nebuchadnezzar makes this giant golden statue, and the gist of it is this: either you worship that statue when the music plays, or I throw you into the fiery furnace, right? There's some real temptation there to idolize, to worship the false idol, right? We ain't talking peer pressure, right? We ain't talking Facebook likes. We're talking fiery furnace, right? But Paul says there's always a way out of temptation. God always makes a way. And there was three Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who found the way out of temptation. Daniel 3, 14, 16 through 18. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up." Dude, come on, y'all. They chose a fiery furnace over idol worship. They chose a fiery furnace over idol worship. And it's not the only place in Daniel we see this. Fast forward a few years, and we're past King Nebuchadnezzar, and we're past Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We got a new king and new people in Daniel chapter 6. It's King Darius. Daniel 6, verses 7 and 9. "All the high officials in the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes a petition to any god or man for 30 days, except for you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction." The king made it very clear: you pray to me, you worship me, or I throw you in the lion's den. Talk about idolizing a politician, right? The people were literally worshiping him and praying to him. And if they didn't, they'd get thrown into the lion's den. Daniel 6, verse 10. Y'all know how this story ends. "When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went up to his house where he had his windows and his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had always done." Come on, guys. Daniel chose the lion's den over idolatry. Dude, he chose the lions. Point one this morning: idolatry is a temptation. There was real temptation for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was real temptation for Daniel. And I know that there's temptation for us, but it's not nearly what they were facing, amen? Point two is this: flee from idolatry. Dude, the Bible tells us to flee from two things and two things only. Normally, the Bible says, suit up in the armor of God. Take your sword, take your shield, go and fight, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But there's two places where they say, you know what, actually don't resist, just run. Yeah. Right? There's two places. One is sexual sin. He says, it's sexual immorality. Don't even play around. Like, you ain't going to win that fight. Just get out of there. Right? Just run. And the second one is temptation for idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 15. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to you as sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Flee from idolatry. Run. Get away. Don't toy around with it. Don't mix with it. Don't compromise. Run. Flee from idolatry. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have compromised, couldn't they have? I mean, how many of us in that situation would be like, you know what, I'll bow down and I'll just pray in my head to Jesus. Like, no one will know, right? Like, they could have compromised. They could have worshipped it and gone home and repented, and they would have been forgiven. And I know I'd be tempted, but they didn't do that. They fled from idolatry. You just imagine the picture of thousands of people around this golden statue, and they're all on their face, and there's these three guys just standing up like, doo-doo. What's going on, guys? Right? Like, it would have been very clear. There was no compromise. They fled from idolatry. What about Daniel? Dude, all Daniel had to do was close his windows. That's it, man. All he had to do was close his windows. But he had prayed the same way every day, multiple times a day, and he wasn't about to change that because of what some Joker King signed. Right? Dude, he didn't compromise. He got as far away. He said, I don't even want anything to do with that. I'm just going to keep on serving my God. So it should be with us, church. None of us are facing fiery furnaces or lion's dens, at least I don't think so. All right, so fleeing idolatry should not be that hard. I don't care what your friends are posting to Facebook. You are a Christian. Focus on Christ. He is our God. The president of the U.S. is not our God. Don't mess around with political idolatry. Flee from it. I don't care how good that sex-filled movie is. Whatever, 51 Shades of Grey, is it now? The new one? Dude, be the guy in your group who says, you know what, man? I love Jesus, and I just don't support how much sex our industry is doing. I just don't want to do that. Be that guy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing up, and they looked weird. Yes. They looked odd, and when we stand up against idolatry, we're going to look weird. And people are going to be like, dude, what? What's wrong with him? And they're going to be like, why are you such a prude, and what's wrong with you? And dude, it's fine. Man, we can be the fool for Christ sometimes. I don't care how much fire that new rapper is spitting. If you ain't spitting that fire for Jesus, man, you need to get rid of it. That's it, man. That's it. Has Facebook taken over your life? Get rid of it. Netflix, cancel the subscription. Find yourself consumed with politics? Stop watching the news. Stop watching CNN. And I don't mean cut back, y'all. I don't mean like, you know what? I've been watching like 40 hours of Netflix a week. Maybe I'll just cut it back to 10. Yeah. Paul says, flee from it. Yes. Dude, have a hard conversation with your spouse and be like, you know what? I think we idolize this. Let's just get rid of it. Yeah. Dude, if you idolize politics, could I just tell you a secret? If you never watched the news again and you never voted in any election, the world would continue spinning. Yeah. Like, the world would go on, right? I had to get rid of my Facebook for 4 years. I just got rid of it because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I got rid of the Drudge Report for a long time because I couldn't do it because I'd get fired up about politics. And I was like, man, this is taking myself away from Christ. Yes. Dude, God will bless you for it. Yes. That brings me to point three. If you choose to flee from idolatry, if you choose to get away from it, there is a cup of blessing waiting for us. Yes. There is a cup of blessing waiting for us if we flee from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not in participation with the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not in participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake in the one bread. If we choose to flee from idolatry, and it's a real choice, it's not going to happen overnight. Dude, I heard this awesome sermon, just a little side note because I love it so much. Guy was talking about drifting. Y'all heard this message about drifting. He was like, drifting never happens in a good way. What is he talking about? Like, if you just aren't focused, if you don't make the choice, any of y'all ever just not focus on your diet and then all of a sudden you're just shredded? It's like, man, I haven't thought about my diet in 6 months and I've lost 20 pounds and have gained abs. Never happens, right? Right? Like, drifting never happens in a good way. You're never like, man, I haven't focused on my marriage and I just haven't done anything and man, it's better than it's ever been. Right? Right? You gotta make a choice. It's not going to get better overnight if you don't make a choice. But if you make that choice, There's a cup of blessing, a cup of blessing that comes from Christ and Christ alone, and what a sweet cup it is. And I know all of y'all have tasted the sweetness of Christ. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I know you've tasted the sweetness of Christ. And maybe it's a long time ago, and maybe you've kind of forgotten and wondered, man, what happened to that passion? Where'd that fire go? Where'd that sweetness go? And I challenge you tonight that maybe the devil has brought in idolatry in your life and is robbing you of that cup of blessing. Consider again old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They chose God over idolatry. Daniel 3, 23 through 26. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Didn't we cast three men into the fiery furnace? But behold, I see four men walking around." Verse 26, and Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace and declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. Not only did God bless them and save them from the fiery furnace, but they got to partake in the blessing of Christ. Look at verse 25. He answered them, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt." Look at this part. "And the appearance of the fourth is like one of the sons of the gods." There wasn't three men there. There was four men, and the fourth was like an appearance of the sons of the God. Most theologians agree that this is a Christophany. That's just a fancy word for Christ coming down to earth before the New Testament. Right? And so here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thousands of years before Mary, thousands of years before the disciples, thousands of years before anyone was walking on water, they got to walk with Christ. They got to walk alongside him because they chose to flee from idolatry. But it's not the only blessing they received, praise God. God loves to bless above and beyond, a cup that overflows. Look at the last verse of chapter 3, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Not only did they get saved from the fiery furnace, they got a job promotion, right? God blesses above and beyond, man. All right, back to the story of Daniel. We know how this ends. The same thing happened. Verses 16 through 22 of chapter 6 of Daniel in the lion's den. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid in the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting, no diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the lion's den. Verse 20, as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Dude, God is so good. Verse 22, God sent his angel. This is very unique language. And again, most theologians agree this is a Christophany. The word angel just means messenger. All right, in the New Testament, we use the word angel to mean this heavenly being. And we got seraphs and all of these different things, angelic beings. And sometimes we get caught up. The word angel just means messenger. And most theologians believe that when it says his messenger, there's a uniqueness to that phrase. And they believe that that was Christ Jesus who came down, the Son of God, to shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel. Can you imagine being in that lion's den and then Jesus shows up? And you're just hanging out with Jesus and your pet lions? Like, dude, that's awesome. Amen. Christ has so many blessings for us if we flee from idolatry. Christ himself is one of those blessings. Amen. Christ himself is one of those blessings. If you feel like you haven't been close to Christ recently, maybe it's time to examine, what have I been choosing? Have I been choosing the cup of the Lord, or have I been choosing the cup of idolatry? Again, check out the last verse of the chapter, verse 28, Daniel 6, 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel went from being thrown into the lion's den to being prosperous. Yes. And that word means prosperous. Yes. That means money, that means favor, that means wealth, that means health. He was blessed in every way that you can think of being blessed because he chose Christ over idolatry. He chose God over idolatry. And guys, I can tell you, and I'll just quickly say this because we're running out of time, but I can tell you that I have seen this very principle in my life. I got hired in Seattle when I came back to Mary Amanda, when I came back from North Carolina. I took a couple of IT jobs until the Lord moved us to Singapore to do our church work. And I took an IT job at this company called Speakeasy. They're no longer around. They got bought out, but they were an internet company, a DSL company. And I didn't know that the word speakeasy was kind of a profane word until I told my grandparents-in-laws, and they were like, "You work at a speakeasy?" And then apparently speakeasy means like brothel, and like I didn't know that. So I didn't know that, but basically like it was a very sinful company, and they loved to hire really, really worldly people. Like they sought out the most worldly people that they could to hire, and it was just kind of their culture, and it was fine, and they didn't realize that I loved Jesus when they hired me, but it was quickly apparent that it was a problem when I brought my Bible to my first day of work, and my manager came over and said, "What is that?" And I was like, "Oh, that's my Bible." "Oh, you're one of them." I was like, "Someone who reads their Bible?" "Yep." Someone else came up and goes, "Oh, you're a Christian. So do you think I'm going to hell because I'm gay?" And I was like, "No, I think you're going to hell because you don't love Jesus." Like, I mean, I didn't say that. I didn't really say that. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. But this was the culture of the company that I was at. So anyways, I was a phenomenal employee. I wasn't late a single time. I had the best numbers. I had the best sales. I was up for a promotion. I was excelling. And then out of the blue, I got my pink slip. And no reason, no explanation. And I was like, "I want an explanation." They were like, "Nope, go home." And I was like, "What?" And I just knew it was because I love Jesus. And what was happening, and I could tell you, is that I started praying for people because they would come to me and they realized that I wasn't a jerk and that I loved them because of the love of Christ was in me. And I started praying for people, and someone in management didn't like that. They didn't like that I was praying for people. And so they fired me, right? And I was so mad, but I was like, "You know what? I know that my manager didn't like it. And I know that other people didn't like it, but I choose Christ. Yeah. And I don't care." And I really, dude, I love being liked. Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but dude, I love being liked. I want to fit in. And I'll just admit, sometimes I'm a bit of a poser. Like, dude, because I want to fit into everybody's clique. Like, whatever your thing is, I want that to be my thing while we're talking so that we can just have something to relate to, right? And dude, the temptation was real when I was there I wanted to fit in, right? Like, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to talk about sin and sinful lifestyles and be hip. But I just made a decision. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to compromise. So I was devastated when I got fired. Devastated. And I was so angry. 2 days later, I got a job that led to a full-time employment at a huge international company. And by the end of the day, I was making $70,000 a year, which is way more money than a 24-year-old kid needs to be making, right? And I would have still been working for $10 an hour at Speakeasy if I wouldn't have ever been fired. 2 days later, and God gave me something better. There is a real blessing when you choose Christ. So I want to ask Renee to come up and, where's Renee at? She's back there. She's going to come up and she's going to help me just close tonight. I want to conclude with the remainder of our text. 1 Corinthians 10:18-22. "Consider the people of Israel. Are they not those who eat the sacrifices participant in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that pagan sacrifices they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons." Dude, Faith and Victory, I don't want y'all to be participants with demons. I don't want my church to be participants with demons. I don't want to be participants with demons. I want my kids to be participants with demons. And so I've got to take heed to what he's saying. Verse 21, "You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons." You can't do it. There's no mixing. You can't have both. You can't have idolatry and blessing. You can't have demons and Christ. Just choose one. You can go ahead. You start playing whenever you want. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than Him? Church, God wants all of us. He wants all of our worship. He wants all of our praise. He wants all of our devotion. God doesn't want us to share, doesn't want to share us with Satan. He doesn't want to share us with Netflix. He doesn't want to share us with Donald Trump. He doesn't even want to share us with us. He doesn't want us to look at our feelings more than we look at Him. Dude, He wants all of us. We can choose tonight to partake in the cup of blessing, to partake in Christ Jesus. Church, if we choose to partake in the cup, there are so many blessings ready for us. There are so many blessings. So I just want to take a moment. We could just kind of close our eyes, bow our heads. I just want to enter into prayer for a minute. And I was talking to Matt this evening, and he was like, are you going to preach something to me tonight? And I was like, bro, every time I read this, dude, it speaks something to me. And I feel like idolatry is something that we're never going to be fully away from because we live in this world until Christ Jesus returns or we go to be with Him. So what I want us to start to pray just tonight and this evening, Lord, can you show me one idol that I need to tear down tonight? Just one. Lord, what is it? Father, is it the way that I entertain myself? Is it my sleep? Do I idolize getting enough sleep? Father, is it my friends? Is it my job? Do I care more about my job than I care about you? Is it politics? Is it Facebook lives? I know that sounds silly, but we all do it. And we have these stupid little tiny idols and we lift them up over Christ. And Lord, would you just reveal to us whatever that is in our lives tonight? I just want to give a moment for y'all to pray and just to listen for the Lord to speak. One idol that we can tear down. I want you to just make the choice tonight. Make the choice. I am going to do something real to stop this idol in my life. Something physical to stop this idol. And I encourage you, if you're married, tell someone. Dude, you know what? God told me this, and it sounds kind of weird, but you know what? It's right. I spend more time doing that than I ever did reading my Bible. Would you hold me accountable? If it's something that you can cancel, like a Facebook subscription or Netflix or anything like that, make the decision tonight, man. I'm just going to cancel. I'm just going to be done with it. And when I really want to watch it, I'm just going to open up my Bible. And I'm just going to read. If it's something intangible, man, write it down. And put it up over your headboard. And just sacrifice it. I'm done with that. No more am I going back to the idol of unforgiveness. Just from now on, I'm just going to forgive and I don't care. Man, I just love sleep so much and I need help. And tell your wife, I'm going to set my alarm 15 minutes early. Don't let me hit snooze. I need to read my Bible those 15 extra minutes. Whatever it is, make the choice tonight. Father, I pray for this church and I pray for every single one of our hearts. Lord, that you would help renew us and restore us. Father, open our eyes to what it means to flee from idolatry in a very real and a very physical sense and to run to you, Lord. Father, I pray that you give us the encouragement and the boldness to tear down that idol. I wonder what would have happened if there was one person in the camp of the Israelites who said, no, Aaron, I'm not worshiping that thing. Father, I ask that we would be those people. I ask that we would be the Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego's. I ask that we would be the Daniels. And Father, as this world gets more and more depraved and it gets darker and darker, let our light shine brighter because we choose you, and that means being different sometimes, and that's okay. Father, let us choose the cup of blessing tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Wow, huh? Well, you- you're never coming back. Jeez. When's the next time I'm coming to your... I'm fasting and praying for 21 days, then I'm coming to your church. You know what's funny is that even today, as me and Christian spend time with each other, it's just odd to be having this guy that couldn't even buckle his own belt and tie his own shoes ministering to me today in the car. You know what I mean? Literally. And you can't be so prideful to think that God can't use anybody, because, I mean, today, man, you just kept just nugget after nugget saying stuff to me. And I'm like, oh, the student has now become the teacher. Appreciate that. You know, it's customary when you have a guest preacher come to give him a little love gift, something to just remember him by. What I want to ask you guys to do tonight is don't give what you can't. Just give what you can. Does that make sense? You know, the church is going to give him a few frog skins. But I was there, and I just felt like the Lord's like, you know what? Why do you want to withhold somebody? Because here's the deal. You're going to be blessed for blessing him. Amen. If you're going to put in a check, just leave it blank. He'll write his name in there. People are like, what about my tax benefits? If it's over $5,000, then go ahead and put Faith and Victory, and we'll filter it through. But, you know, a little bit there. Also, if you didn't bring a checkbook or anything else like that, if you have to do it through Push Pay, just put in the other line and put it for Christian, and we'll make sure we cut him a check. I'm just going to talk for a few more minutes. You just pass that around. And again, don't feel bad. Give what you can. Don't give what you can't. And it'll be fine. It's just going to bless Christian. Because here's what I know, is that when we were small and we were church planters, you feel alone and you wonder, does anybody know? Does anybody care? And I tell you, we love you, Christian. We love Amanda. And we love the work that you guys are doing in Iowa. As many of you guys saw from Missionary Sunday, we support Christian Life Church on a monthly basis financially in this bubble period where they're at, until they're self-sufficient and they're on their way. If this preaching is any indication, I'm like, what the heck is going on with those chuckleheads out in Iowa? You know what I mean? Yeah, I just can't overstate how great you did tonight, Christian. Man, he was good, wasn't he? Not too good. Come on. I'm going to have to bring my A game on Sundays, because people are like, you know, couldn't Christian stay till Sunday? I already had somebody text me during service and say, he's in Iowa, right? I think I'm moving to Iowa. From this church in this room right now texted me that. I was like, wow. And you know what I wrote back? I said, me too. I'm on my way. So I'm just going to give you guys a couple more seconds so that you can let it go around. Thank you guys for coming tonight. We do have church on Sunday. Why don't you guys stand with me? And let's, Jay, would you just, Christian, stand there. Would you just lay your hands on Christian? And anybody else that's just around, if you guys just want to come real quick, let's pray for Christian real quick. Let's pray God's blessings upon him. Here, a lot of more people are coming. Everybody's like, I want to step forward a step, Christian. Let him get around you. Look at all these people coming. Wow, just turned into a prayer service. All right. God, anoint Christian with your power, with your strength. God, grow Christian Life Church in Cedar Rapids. Give him and Amanda the strength to sustain the work. God, we pray even in the next 6 months for growth that they never expected and that they never saw before. God, we pray for provision. We pray for people. And most of all, God, we pray for your peace to come upon him and Amanda as they know that you have divinely appointed them for a time such as this in a place such as Cedar Rapids, God. Father, we praise you. We thank you for sending Christian to us tonight, God. And we pray that we would never forget to cast down those idols that are not of you, God. We thank you and praise you for this word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming. Have a good night. See you on Sunday. Go and get your kids.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.